opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I welcome you to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and conversation with those who've suffered the loss of a loved one and for healthcare professionals who work in this most difficult field. And always the message is others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation. If you're listening to our Thursday live internet show, please join Heidi and me on the show by calling our toll-free number 1-866-472-5792 with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. These shows are archived on our blogs, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Open to Hope site, and they're also archived on the Compassionate Friends website. All shows can be downloaded on iTunes, and some transcripts are available. Well, good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Mom.
We have some great guests today. We particularly are fond of these guests because they write for us, both of them, right?
Yes, you can read more about them on our Open to Hope site, and I actually just put the link to this show on their profile pages, and so that you can tell your friends after the show about the show if you want to pass this along to anyone, and they can just go on and listen.
Right, and their topic is going on after the death of a husband, and our first guest is Elaine Williams, author of A Journey Well Taken, and our second is Helga Hayes, author of Don't Worry About a Thing, Dear. Well, Heidi, I want to talk a little bit about our poetry contest. We have our second annual poetry contest, and it was so popular last year, wasn't it?
It was, and we got some amazing poems. They were very powerful.
And we have little prizes that you get, and so go on to our site, the Grief Blog, or the Open to Hope site, and sign up for and give us your poetry. Also on our site is the University of Utah study. We are very excited about this study. This is the first study that has ever been done as, of Internet radio, as far as we know, unless there's one out there that hasn't been written about. But as far as searching into it, the University of Utah School of Social Work has looked into it, and they are doing a survey of our radio show and our sites. So we hope that you'll all want to get involved because we're really interested in making these shows and our sites better, right, Hyde?
Absolutely. Your feedback is really important to us. We want to know what you like about the show, what works, what would you like to see more of.
And we really value you. So go on to the Grief Blog or the Open to Hope site, hit on the University of Utah study. It's very prominent there, and it'll take you to a survey that you can fill out for us. Also, we have on our sites now, we have an application for our newsletter. We put out our first newsletter. It was a great hit, a great success. So if you or any of your family or friends want to receive that newsletter, please fill out that form because you can also then get heads up on what our shows will be for the next month. Right, Heidi?
Exactly. We list all of the shows that are going on and what's coming. And another thing I wanted to talk about were our blogs. We have a Widow's Widower blog, so if you want to go on and, you know, write there, you can write your thoughts there and blog in. That would be great. We have 15 blogs up now.
Yeah, and if you go to the blog, you can blog in on all those blogs, and our numbers are great with that Widower blog, aren't they, Heidi? I mean, they just keep going up.
They do. I think we got 4,800 hits or something like that, visits this month.
And so, we have two great people running them. And if you if you're a widower, we've got a great guy, Abel Keough, who's heading that blog. And Beverly McManus is a widow who's doing the widower blog. So it's a real treasure trove there. So if that's your issue, please go there.
Beverly's husband died of the same thing as one of our guests, which is
esophageal cancer. Yeah.
Yes.
Our first guest, Elaine Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I wanted to just mention Valentine's Day, and we'll talk about it with our guests on the show. We know that this can be a difficult time for people if they've lost their honey bunch.
Yeah, especially when you've lost your husband, your spouse, your significant other, your partner.
Absolutely. So we understand that that's a it can be a difficult time for folks. And also, Heidi, kids sending out Valentines and stuff. You know, that if you've lost a child, it can be very tough, too.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Mom.
I want to just mention we had a woman from Canada who logged into us. And, again, Heidi, she used those words, which are kind of amazing to me. She said, your show with Heidi is my lifeline. Mm-hmm. And she lost a child only a few months ago. And our heart goes out to all of you, and we hope that we are there for you and know that you can make it. And how do we know? Because we've done it. Right, Heidi?
Absolutely. And I was with a client the other day, and she said, I feel like I'm not doing anything. I'm so sad. I'm not doing anything. And I said, you are. You're doing the work of grief. The work of grief is hard work.
Yeah, absolutely. And your body knows how to do it. You need to take care of it. I mean, you're going to get through this. So, Heidi, on that note, would you like to introduce our topic and guest today?
Sure, I'd love to. As you said, Mama, our guest today, our first guest is Elaine Williams, and our topic is going on after the death of a husband. Elaine Williams was left a widow at age 47 with three boys to raise. Elaine is the author of Journey Well Taken and says that despite challenges that arise when things fall apart, loss can help us uncover our own strength, purpose, and dignity. Welcome to the show, Elaine.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's great to have you on the show, Elaine, and also thank you for being a writer for us. Your book, I've been reading it, and it's you have such a clear way of writing. I've really enjoyed reading A Journey Well Taken, talking a bit about the death of your husband. Could you talk a little bit about his death?
Well, we were together 23 years. We were married 20 years. My husband was very rarely sick, and then one day out of the blue, he suddenly... he couldn't keep food down, so we went to the doctor, and after all the tests and everything, they said that basically he had esophagus cancer, which we didn't know anything about this, and when you hear the word cancer, I mean, that it seems like one of the worst things you could ever hear in your life in relation to anyone, much less a loved one. So from there, he did everything possible that, you know, we could think of to hopefully get him through this. And unfortunately, the more research I did, the more kind of scary it got, because last stage esophagus cancer, the prognosis isn't good. It's something like 5%, you know, survival rate. But at any rate, we didn't lose hope. We, you know, I took care of him basically through various procedures. He elected to go pretty much alternative medicine. Because in his own mind, he just felt that doing the traditional route, chemo and radiation, for him, he just had it in his mind that he would be dead within a month and a half. So we worked together, our entire family, basically, through this 11-month period with the hope that, you know, he would get better. And I guess sometimes people say you're in denial, whatever it is, but you're living this day to day, and you're always hoping, and you don't want to give up hope.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. We had somebody tell us the other day that his sister, we had him on the show, Gary Malkin, and he said his sister has cancer, and he said he used to think, he's very involved with end-of-life issues, and he said, I used to think that you really should face it, and he said, you don't do that. You have hope.
Yeah, because it gets to a point where if you're saying, well, this is the end of it, there's only a 5% chance of survival, then you've pretty much kind of given up hope right there. At least that was my mindset.
Yeah, you got to have something to get you up in the morning and going.
Right, exactly.
So then your husband passed away, and you were left with your three boys, right? What ages were they?
Right. My youngest was 10. My next son was 18, and my oldest son was 19.
Uh-huh. And what a challenge. Talk a little bit about some of your feelings about having to raise these boys alone, because I know some of our audience out there who are sitting now, their spouse has passed away, and they're sitting either the husband or wife, and they're raising their children alone. Tough deal, huh?
Yeah, you know, you would think, not before going through this, you would think, well, okay, the two older boys, they probably can handle it better, but you know what? It was a good, I want to say a good 6 months before things really started to, quote-unquote, hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest son, 10 at the time, then he turned 11 within that 6 months, he would cling to me. He had always been kind of an independent kid. All my kids were kind of independent, but he started clinging to me. He would hang on me. He'd come and, he'd give me kisses at night, which was fine, but he'd come back. He'd do it 3 or 4 times at night. And then one time he said to me, we were talking and taking a walk, and just out of the blue, very calm, very calm, he says to me, "Well, what happens if you die? What's going to happen to me?" So, I tried to reassure him that I had certain things in place. I said, your aunt and your grandparents, and, I just explained to him that you are not going to be left alone, but, I'm only 47. I do intend to live a long time. I have a lot I want to do.
Now, I think that's really important, what you just said, don't you, Heidi? Reassuring that you will live.
Yeah, he needed that reassurance.
That and the fact that you have something in place. God forbid anything did happen. You really reassured him on all ends. I think you've handled it beautifully.
I do, too, because sometimes we have people say, well, if something should happen to me, your aunt's going to take care of you. But you went that extra mile saying, I'm young and, nothing's going to happen to me. Because it's been our experience that kids really do need that.
Yeah, and I didn't even know until he brought this up that he was thinking about stuff like this. And interestingly, this was within the first month and a half, I also had thoughts of my own. After going through this, I'm thinking to myself, my gosh, my kids have lost their father. What happens if I were to get sick? What if I die? My kids, they'll be totally, they have grandparents, family, but it's not the same.
Right. So you had those normal fear for our audience out there. If you've just had a spouse die, and a normal fear is that something would happen to you and you would leave. And also the other fear is certainly fear for your kids. And I know you talk about that in the book, one of your kids having an automobile accident and the fears. And I know that's a thing for our audience, very normal too. And we'll talk about that when we come back from break. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. We are talking today about going on after the death of a husband with our guest, Elaine Williams. These shows are archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Open to Hope Foundation website. You can also download them on iTunes. Please sign up for our newsletter and also take a look at Writing for Us. Please stay tuned for more.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley. Just a reminder that Healing the Grieving Heart Internet Radio and thegriefblog.com are sponsored by the Open to Hope Foundation, a nonprofit web-based foundation whose mission is to help bereaved individuals cope with their pain and find hope in their future. My mom and I hope you will visit our foundation website at www.opentohope.com and become a part of our caring community.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. We are talking today with Elaine Williams, author of Journey Well Taken, about going on after the death of a husband. Welcome back to the show, Elaine and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Elaine, when we went to break, we were talking a little bit about some of those normal fears for our audience out there after you've lost a partner, and particularly if you've got kids around, fear for the kids and fear for what happens to you. Talk about your fear that you had. Now, it's been 5 years for you now, so we also want to get to where you are now, but let's go back to where you were then as far as fears.
Back then, as I said, about the first 6 months, I mean, things were pretty much numb, and you're just kind of doing things by rote, and I just wanted to make sure things were in place for the kids, you know, they're in school, well, it was summer break, but then you go back to school, so you've got changes, and my youngest son was worried that the kids might mention something about him losing his father, so I did speak to the teacher and just said, listen, just talk to the kids beforehand and say, yes, this did happen, but, you know, just be nice to my son and maybe don't bring it up unless he wants to talk about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And for him, I love the fact that you went to the school, don't you, Heidi?
Yes, because you advocated. And sometimes we have to teach people how to be good grief support.
Especially at the schools, because they don't necessarily know. It's great
and
that you went in
you know,
there. And
the
they do want to help.
The reason I did that is because the year before, my youngest son's grandmother had died, and his teacher said something in front of the whole class, and my son came home in tears. And that was something that when this happened with my husband, I knew enough to say, listen, I've got to do a little something so that this doesn't happen again.
Right. So even if it's been a while, you can go in and talk to the school.
Yes.
I remember when my 14-year-old daughter, after her son died, the math teacher, I went in to talk to him because he said she'd been talking in math, and she was a good math student, but she was disrupting other people. And I went in and I said, well, you know, her brother died this year. And he said, oh, we've all lost parents, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just said, you know, this is, it may be, but this is really hard for her. So, you know, I mean, you just have to go in and meet people where they are a lot of times.
And unfortunately, I did find early on that sometimes people, in their ignorance, trying to help, are trying to push you into something, you know, get over it, you know, and they're trying to push you into something that they don't even understand. They're trying to help, supposedly, but they're kind of making the situation, you know, more painful.
Right. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about, because in the book, you have a wonderful section on dating. And you're such an excellent writer. Journey Well Taken is Life After Loss is a great book if you lost a partner. Could you talk about how people can get to your book, and then I want to talk a little bit about your dating.
Where they can get it?
Uh-huh.
They can get it off my website, journeywelltaken.com. Or you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's available quite a few different online stores.
And we'll have it also up on our websites. So talk a little bit about your dating. How far out did you get? You were only 47, and you're thinking, I don't think I want to be alone all my life. How long did it take you to think about that?
Well, the loneliness really started hitting once the numbness wore off, which was 6 months, and then we were into the first anniversary. Wedding anniversary, which was October. It would have been our 21st. And then we get into Thanksgiving, and, of course, the holidays, it really seems to
And how about Valentine's? Do you remember that, since we got Valentine's coming up?
Yeah. And then Christmas. And then by the time Valentine's hit, Christmas, I was really down and depressed. And it was weird because I didn't even realize what was going on until after Christmas. I started to feel a little bit of a lightening of that real deep sadness. And I realized it was hitting me. I mean, you would think you would realize, but you don't. But it was hitting me that this was really, you know, this loneliness was hitting me so hard. It was such a deep ache inside. And I decided, well, it's been almost a year. Maybe I'll think about start dating again. And then I was kind of, like, afraid to mention it because, oh, my gosh, my kids might, you know, might take it the wrong way. And my family, what are they going to think? So I decided to do online dating, which, again, I'd been out of dating for about 25 years, and to go back into dating when everything is totally different, and then to think about internet dating. So I, you know, got into it. I looked at the online profile. You know, I did the online profile, and I had a couple dates. And at the time, now this is a year, what I didn't realize was I was really pretty emotionally unavailable. There was this deep hole inside of me of loneliness, And I thought if I went out on dates, if I got a relationship going, that, you know, it would take care of that loneliness.
Right.
Of course, in hindsight, years later, I'm amazed at myself because I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I was, like, so unready to date.
I was going to say, Elaine, did it make you really realize, in a sense, wow, I can't replace my husband?
No, you know what? That's the one thing I was not looking to replace.
Okay.
I was looking to somehow feel not alone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there was never any thought of replacement because as I finally said to my kids when I told them I was thinking about it, I said, listen, I don't have a social life right now. I'm feeling, you know, pretty isolated. Plus, where we live is a very small community, and I work for myself, so there were different factors that I really felt isolated. And I just said to my kids, listen, no one will ever replace your father, or it won't be, you know, what we had, but I would like to get out socially again.
Well, tell us about a couple of your online dates, because you talk about them in the book. I found your dating, the part of your book about dating, which was a fair amount, was very interesting, and I think could be very helpful for people who are thinking
and
about
my
it.
Friends,
there
my friends, my
people that want your money, and there are people, you know, you have to be careful, don't you?
Oh, yeah, you have to be careful, and I was basically, you know, you connect with someone online, and you exchange emails back and forth, but you don't give any personal information. I was very leery of giving out my phone number. I wanted to proceed very carefully, and especially because I have, you know, children, too. That was an added thing that I wanted to be protective of. But then I did get to know a couple of the fellows, and, you know, we went out on some dates, and I don't know. It's just that dating is so different, and I guess things proceed at a lot quicker pace than what I'm used to from 20-some years ago. And what I realized is I was attracting men that said they wanted, you know, to have someone in their life, but everything they did said otherwise. I mean, they had, like, one guy, I refer to him as a social moron, which kind of sounds mean, but he had no interest. He said he wanted, you know, a relationship with someone. He really liked me, the whole spiel. We had a lot of stuff in common, but he had no interest in my day-to-day activities. He wouldn't even think to stop by my house and see how my day went. He wouldn't call me during the day, just, you know, once in a while to find out what's going on. We went out a couple times, and the first time I ended up paying for dinner, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, this isn't a good sign. But, you know, I mean, I laugh now, but at the time, it was very painful.
Right.
Because I'm allowing myself to be, like, taken for granted.
Well, you're taking a risk, but what would you say to our audience out there who are listening and say, okay, I want to try that. What would you say? Go for it?
I would say, you know, get your feet wet with the little online dating. Just what I did was I set up an email that it was just like a Yahoo account or one of those accounts that, you know, there was no personal information there. It was just an account for online dating. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you see someone that interests you, you contact them, you exchange emails. And I would do it for a little while until you get a sense of, you know, what this person is about. And if people start, obviously, asking you for money or want to know how much money you make. See, I never put my personal thing down like that. I never put my income. I never put anything where they could figure out, you know, where
I'm going. One thing you said in the book is also that you decided to make yourself more socially available, just like talking to people in the supermarket, talking to people. You went kayaking and you talked to people, a guy on the shore, and, you know, just practicing having those social interchanges.
Yes.
Is an important thing, and maybe that's the first step to dating, is just putting yourself out there.
And, you know, for someone who's relatively shy, it was very difficult for me to do that, you know, to make myself more
Well, I don't think we're in the habit of doing it, and maybe even saying to somebody, can I meet you for coffee? And you said that you'd never thought about approaching a man, and now you might think about doing that. How are things now? It's 5 years later. Have you had any, since you wrote the book, the book's what, a year and a half old or something?
Okay, well, that's the interesting part. The last date I had was 2.5 years ago, and what happened at that time, that was someone who I decided really, I allowed him to treat me not like I deserved. He was very inconsiderate. So at that point, I said to myself, okay, why am I allowing these people to come into my life? Why am I, you know, feeling interest in them? I really don't want to go out on these dates unless I find someone who's, you know, on the same wavelength as myself, very, you know, family-oriented, good sense of humor, someone who expresses some interest in me to start with.
Right.
So that's where I'm at. I've gone on a couple dates since then, but I'm very choosy now, and I'm more, I guess you would say, happy with myself.
And it's been 5 years, so.
And I do intend to, you know.
I've got to say, I've got girlfriends that, like, you know, are widows, and they've found great guys on the Internet, through Match.com, et cetera, and it's been a good thing. So, yeah, I mean, it can be used good or whatever.
Yeah, it
bad,
can work
like
for some people.
Right.
I never had too much luck with that, but, you know, you can never rule out.
Well, one of the things that I'm thinking about, you're kind of up in the country, right?
Yeah.
Heidi's in New York City. I'm thinking there might be a
right,
bigger pool.
Right, we're just
pool.
Speed dating here.
Anyway,
speed dating
well,
here,
you know, it's time for us to close the show, Elaine, and I want to thank you for very much for being on the show. And
thank
I
you,
would
Elaine.
Recommend that people get your book, A Journey Well Taken, Life After Loss. It's a great book.
Thank you so much.
And did you have one last comment you wanted to give to our folks before you close the show?
I would just let others know that are suffering this loss, that are going through this, that, you know what, it is a terrible experience, but there is life and light at the end of the tunnel, but just remain open to life and living.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Elaine Williams, for being on our show. You can go to our websites to read more about Elaine. She is there at the Open to Hope Foundation. Please stay tuned for our next segment when we'll talk with our guest, Helga Hayes, about finances and going on after the loss of a husband. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, I'm Eric Kipple, former quarterback of the Detroit Lions and outreach coordinator of the University of Michigan Depression Center. It gives me great pleasure to announce the publication of my autobiography, Real Men Do Cry, a quarterback's inspiring story of tackling depression and surviving suicide loss, written with Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley and published by Quality of Life. Real Men Do Cry takes you on my journey of fame and fortune to unbearable pain and depression following the death of my 15-year-old son, Jeff, and gives practical information on the warning signs and risks of depression. My story ends with an uplifting message of hope and recovery. I have faith that if I have made it, you can too. You can visit my website to learn more about my book at erichipple.com and more about depression on depressioncenter.org. Thank you.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley. Just a reminder that Healing the Grieving Heart, Internet Radio, and thegriefblog.com are sponsored by the Open to Hope Foundation, a nonprofit web-based foundation whose mission is to help bereaved individuals cope with their pain and find hope in their future. My mom and I hope you will visit our foundation website at www.opentohope.com and become a part of our caring community.
A new child bereavement study is being conducted by a doctoral student at Seattle Pacific University. This study investigates the positive and negative personal and relationship outcomes of parents who have lost a child. These questions are based on you, your present relationship with your partner, your social support following your loss, and your personal experiences following your loss. If you have lost a child, you are invited to participate in this 20-minute survey. Participation is confidential, and you may change your mind at any time. If you think you would like to participate, please go to www.lossresearch.webs.com. Or, if you have any questions or would prefer the questionnaires be sent to you, please contact Hillary Van Horn by phone at 1-530-902-4562 or by email at hvanhorn@coh.org. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Hello, my name is Neil Chethick. I'm the executive editor for the Open to Hope Foundation and author of the book Father Loss, How Sons Deal with the Death of Their Dad. As editor of the foundation, it's my job to find writers for our website, writers who would like to contribute their articles, poetry, and personal stories about grief, loss, hope, and recovery. If you'd like to write for our website, please contact me. You can do that by visiting opentohope.com and click on the category Write for Us. Then you can start bringing your words, your stories, to our fast-growing audience around the world.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us today, we are talking about going on after the death of a husband. And our second guest today is Helga Hayes. Since Helga Hayes' husband's sudden death, she has been inspired to help thousands of women to talk productively about touchy subjects such as money, death, and regrets. She is the author of Don't Worry About a Thing, Dear. Welcome to the show, Helga.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Helga. It's great to have you on the show. And what a timely topic right now for our bereaved folks out there talking about financial issues, because we are in a tough time for everybody. And I can imagine for bereaved people who've lost their partner, it must be a really difficult time, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it can be a very, very difficult time because they're dealing with their bereavement and then they're dealing with financial issues they may not have been accustomed to dealing with before. So many women have just allowed their husbands to take care of the finances and are not educated before something happens about how to do that on their own. And so there's a double whammy of being slammed by a financial crisis as well as a grieving crisis. And sometimes that's just very hard to bear, and it's hard to you need to take a breath and realize what's going on. It really is like a double whammy.
Now, talk a little bit about what happened to you. Fortunately, you, in reading your book, Don't Worry About a Thing, Dear, Why Women Need Financial Intimacy, one of the things that you talk about in there is how you kind of dodged a bullet yourself, didn't you? Because for some reason, you were inspired to get involved with your finances before your husband died.
Well, it was just a stroke of luck. You know, I didn't do anything special except that it just dawned on me that I was married to, my husband was an entrepreneur in a community property state, and every time the company needed a line of credit or took out a loan, my signature was right on the papers for everything the company needed, but I really wasn't involved in running the company or having any say-so in it, and I realized that I might be in jeopardy, but I was afraid to speak up. I didn't want my husband to think I didn't trust him, and so I just kind of went along with it, and one day I met a woman who had been widowed, and she told me about what a financial mess she was left in, and that's when I decided to educate myself about the finances and talk to my husband. And we started an estate planning process, drew up wills and durable powers of attorney and everything that we needed in case something happened to him. And by the most ironic hand of fate, he died a few weeks after we signed all those papers. And so if we hadn't done that and if I hadn't learned everything I needed to know about our financial life, my life would have been very, very different after
he died. Stroke or heart attack or something, right?
No, actually he didn't. He died in an accident. He actually fell asleep in a hot tub.
Oh, that was asleep. Okay.
Yeah, and people think that this can happen, but it can. If you are, he was sleep deprived. He had been traveling for a week on business and hadn't had much sleep. And when he came home that day, he played a few sets of tennis and he was absolutely exhausted. I was out of town with a client for the weekend, and he just, you know, climbed in the hot tub just as we always did when I was home, but I wasn't there.
Wow.
And so he fell asleep, and I came home and unfortunately found him. And I was so traumatized by all that. It took me a long time to recover from what I had seen, and he was just a very handsome man, and I just adored him, and as you can imagine, it was very traumatic for me.
Right. And so you had your finances together. Did you have any financial issues after that? I mean, were you able to pay attention immediately, or?
Yeah, I was able to pay attention. I paid attention because of the way we had set things up. I was the executor of the estate. This is a very important thing, that when I do seminars for women, I always stress the things that other people don't tell them. For example, that you can be the executor of the estate. You can be the trustee of what happens after that. You don't have to hand over your power to somebody else to make those financial decisions for you. We're totally capable of making our own decisions. We don't need someone doling out money to us on a trust basis, unless there's, you know, millions and millions of dollars involved. But even then, there's no reason why a woman can't do that.
Right, exactly. I hate those stories about families where the women have to go to their kids and ask them if they can buy a new television set.
Right, right. And this is what happens very often after someone dies, and you have to go through a probate process. And this is why I urge people to have revocable trusts where they have equal powers and the financial life goes on.
Now, what about these women who are in a mess right now? I mean, say nothing was signed, and here I am, and where do people start? How can I get help?
Well, the thing is that they shouldn't leave it that way. Everything should have been taken care of before. But the thing is, if you're in this situation afterwards, you just have to get an assessment of what your financial situation is.
And how do I get that? Where do I go? What do I do?
Well, once you have that, it's really best to work with a professional who can help you assess where you are financially.
And what would that professional be? Would it be a lawyer, or who would I find?
You talk to a financial planner or a financial advisor.
And how do I find them?
Well, you find them by you ask around, ask your friends, do they work with somebody? Or you can check with the local bank if they have a trust department. You can see if they have an accountant can very often be very, very helpful in helping you assess what you have, and then directing you to a financial planner. Most accountants don't do that. They just do the accounting, but they can send you to someone who can help you map out your finances. And
so I might want to look for a financial planner if I'm in total chaos right now.
Well, if you're in total chaos, the best thing is to do nothing. That's the point. Do not put your money anywhere. Do not sell your house if you can avoid it. Stay put and allow that grieving process to just be there. You have to go through it. And the problem is, it's hard to learn about money when you're grieving. It's hard to learn about anything when you're grieving.
So hold steady. If you're in your month or two, hold steady for a while. Just, you know, figure out how you're going to hold steady. Tell people you're going to hold steady.
Yes, tell them you're going to hold steady, and recognize that your children are going to want to help you. And you're really not in a position, if you don't understand the finances, to assess whether their information is very good. One of the problems that I teach women is that sometimes after the death of a husband, a woman for the first time has, say, an amount of cash that she has inherited as a result of his death. And the children, the mother needs the company and she needs the emotional support of the children. But there is danger in that zone of wanting the emotional comfort, because many times a child will ask for a loan, or they'll want infusion of cash into a business, and the mother's best intentions are to help the children. You want to help them, but it's not a good idea because you may need it yourself. You really shouldn't extend any loans to children until you get input about what you are going to need personally.
Yeah, I think it's important to hold fast for that year. I think a year, you know, if you can stay in there and as things seep in, try to learn about your finances, but not be making loans or get. And sometimes with kids, I've heard recently someone emailed us about the fact that her children felt like they were due something because their father had died.
That they would what?
They were adults and they were due some money.
Oh,
they
yeah,
should get some of that at stake.
Okay. Well, it depends on how things are set up.
But nothing was set up. They just felt like they were owed some of it.
Yeah, that's the problem. And the thing is that children really aren't entitled to anything unless a will specifies that when someone dies, something's supposed to go to the children. But there are 10 community property states in the United States, and everything is half the wife's. And so if children are pressuring in a situation like that, then she's forced to reduce her standard of living by half. And so it adds even more to the problems of the fact that nothing was in place.
Right. Well, if your husband dies in a community property state, you don't have to give your children anything if you don't even have a will, do you? Isn't everything just yours?
Yes, it is. But
I think that's one thing women should realize. You know, if they don't have a will, everything is theirs.
Yes. Well, everything is. If you have a will, then the beneficiary of the will is who gets what
makes
left.
A difference. But if you're if you haven't done a blasted thing, it's your money.
Yeah,
you're not obligated to give your children anything.
Well,
and you know, I don't really think about.
Let me tell you
some
of the things I noticed for myself after my husband died.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to recognize, because I had been teaching women before this happened, that was what was so ironic, Gloria, that I had already been teaching about this.
Well, you kind of wonder. I had learned a lot about grief and loss. That was my field before my son was killed. So you kind of wonder sometimes how life takes you on a journey.
You become the guinea pig for how effective the information that you teach other people really is, because you become the test site for it. And that's what happened to me. And what I realized was that I really did need to put myself first. And I didn't have young children. Now, when you have young children, it's very hard to put yourself first. But if you can at all, make sure that you take the time for yourself, that you pamper yourself. One of the things I noticed, and I'm sure that this crosses the mind of other women because they've admitted it to me when in seminars, they've said that if they're accustomed to always looking nice, you know, when they're out in public, we do our hair, we try to put our clothes together nicely and stuff. And suddenly, when you're confronted with a grievous loss, your first, quote, debut as a widow, okay? And this is like a special category in our society. You're the first time that people see you without your husband, you look terrible. You've been crying. So it's really important to recognize that you're still you. You still want to look nice. Take yourself to the hairdresser. Make sure that you look okay. So it doesn't compound all those feelings of having lost everything. You know what I mean?
So that's not a place that you cut back financially.
Absolutely
the things that you've
not,
been doing.
Because it just makes you feel you're lost. It just compounds everything. Get a massage. You know, get a massage.
Well, I think a massage is good, too, because you're all of a sudden touch-deprived.
Excuse me?
I think a massage is nice also because you're touch-deprived.
Yes, absolutely. You are touch-deprived, and it's very relaxing, and it allows you to just to let go. I found myself crying at totally unexpected moments, and I would just say to people, you know, these tears are good, because it shows me that I'm healing, that my emotion is coming out.
That's a good point to make, Helga, because you may be crying in front of some people that you feel embarrassed, your lawyer, your financial person,
exactly.
You know, your banker,
yes.
You know, something like that, and you may avoid those kind of appointments.
Well, you want to avoid those. You just, for me, it was so difficult to even interact with a lawyer afterwards, because there were so many papers, there were so many things to deal with the company and with everything, it was really difficult to communicate. I remember I had to go in and see the lawyer, and I couldn't even take the appropriate files out of the file cabinet. I just took everything out, and I put it in a travel suitcase on wheels.
Uh-huh.
And I put it in the car, and I rolled it into her office, and I said, find what you need.
Okay, well, maybe that's something That's a good point for people who are out there wondering what they're going to do.
Yeah,
well, it's time
so
for us to go to break now, and our guest is Helga Hayes, and we're talking about dealing with the death of a spouse. Please stay tuned for more. You can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Open to Hope Foundation, and you can Helga Hayes writes for us, and you can go on to our Open to Hope site, and you can go to contributing authors and find her name and find more out about Helga. Please stay tuned for more.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
Hello, my name is Beverly McManus. In 2003, my husband Steve died of cancer. It's been a tough journey, but it's been softened by being part of the Open to Hope Foundation caring community. This year, Abel Keogh, whose wife died by suicide, and I have launched the www.opentohopedeathofaspouse.com website. We're working hard to have timely articles and create a dialogue of support. The important thing to know is that you are not alone. We'd like to share your grief journey with you and others who have lost their partners and invite you to help us get the word out about the www.opentohopedeathofaspouse.com site. You can also reach us by going to opentohope.com and scrolling down to the bottom of the page where all of the Foundation blog links can be viewed. Thanks.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us today, we are talking with Helga Hayes, author of Don't Worry About a Thing, Dear. And we are talking about going on after the death of a husband. Welcome back, Helga and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Helga, I just wanted to say your book is fantastic. Don't Worry About a Thing, Why Women Need Financial Intimacy. I'm sure people can get it on Amazon, right?
Yes.
And do you have a website they can get it from?
Yes. Yes, it's the website is financialintimacy.com.
Okay, and also, Helga, talk a little bit about your workshops that you do, your seminars.
Well, the seminars that I do, I started to do them. I was doing them before my husband died 10 years ago. And after he died, it was like being clubbed on the head because I realized that what I teach of women had happened to me. And so after I got through that, it took me about 2 years to get past the acute grieving period for him. And I looked at what will I do with the rest of my life because I had other things that I was doing, and I decided the best thing I could do would be to help other women with this information, so in case something happened to
you. And this is a real mission for you, isn't it?
So
this isn't just something you do lightly as a business.
This is my work again. And in the seminars, I get women who they have not necessarily been widowed, but many of them are looking at a divorce situation, or many of them are just want to know more. But I've had many widows in the seminar because they might want to remarry, and they don't want to repeat many of the same financial mistakes they may have made the first time around.
And you've got information on that in the book also.
Oh, I do. I do. I just tell women what to look out for and what to be comfortable. For example, I'll give you an example. I heard your previous guest, Elaine Williams, talking about dating.
Right.
And one of the biggest dangers that women, after being widowed, face is that they will develop a good relationship with a man, and they want to they want this to become more of a permanent relationship. And if they don't understand that they are the best ones to take care of their money in terms of making sure that it lasts for them, they will turn over the responsibilities for their money to this new boyfriend.
This is a very bad idea.
Because you know, the boyfriend or
even husband
will, they'll make the same mistakes. And so I urge women, do not turn your money over to anybody. Don't take anyone's advice about anything without checking with your own financial planner or your accountant. Do not get involved until you feel strong enough to maintain your own boundaries.
And make sure your financial planner is in it from a reputable place, because I work with 9/11 widows.
Yes.
And they're young widows, and some of them have had wonderful experiences. A few of them have had hideous experiences.
Yes. Yes, they have. Mm-hmm. And this is why, and financial planners are not the be-all and end-all of anything, you know? I mean, even in this economic downturn, many financial planners didn't see anything coming either. And so financial planners are, look for a financial planner who is a fee-only financial plan. In other words, you can pay them by the hour for a financial plan. But if you have financial planners who make a commission on everything that they do for you, then this, you're going to have a lot of activity with a lot of fees.
So they might sell your stocks and that,
that
kind
you
of thing.
So get a
financial planner who pays by the hour. And hold fast for a year, we're saying, or for the
Absolutely.
Time when you feel like you're in control. Watch out that you don't. My husband always says, if you ever remarry or get involved with somebody, if something happens to me, Gloria, don't have any of your financial statements sent to your house. Get a P.O. box.
That's good advice.
That's very good advice, Gloria. And I have to say that your husband is very enlightened in wanting you to have all the information. No,
yeah, he's
I mean,
very interested. He's concerned.
Thing.
He's seen so many women that have had problems and that have lost their money and all that. He's like, I want you to know everything. I want you to know how to, you know, do this. I want you to be involved in everything we do.
Right.
Because it can be a nightmare. I don't
right.
want that to happen to you.
Right. And the thing is that when if you don't learn the first time, I mean, this is what happens in divorce too. You tend to go through this again, and you want to make sure that you learn all about money before you get involved in another relationship. This is extremely important. Here's the thing. The average age a woman is widowed is 56. You probably know that, right?
Well, it's very young, no.
Figures.
Yeah, I read that in your book, and I was surprised, frankly.
Yes, well, and so was I when I learned about it, and that's exactly where I was. I was right on that 56.
So, audience out there, think about that, 56, young. And
it's very young because women live into their 80s and 90s.
That's right, so you've got a lot of years to have that money, and you should learn to, you need to learn to take care of it. But as I said, what would be your advice to people who've just been widowed, say, a month or something like that?
Oh, you know what? Personally, there is nothing that they need more than to be able to take care of themselves and accept as much help as you can from your friends and your family without having, without being engulfed by it. And what I mean by that is that you need time to be by yourself, to cry, to just let it all out, because there's a feeling of unreality, at least there was for me. I was moving through this in a feeling of not being in my own body.
Right.
And for me to have to interact with other people was very difficult.
Well, hopefully you have a son-in-law like my husband was. He took my mother's shoebox full of everything, all her receipts and everything, and organized everything for her. So, you know, and people who don't want anything, maybe a friend who can help you if you're desperate.
Because you do need to know, you know, where is the money, where is the cash flow, what to do. You know, one of the things that I have in the book is I have a list of things that people need to know when death occurs.
All right, so get this book. We've got to close our show now, and we want to thank Helga for being on. Thank you so much, Helga Hayes.
Thanks, Helga.
Thank you.
It's time to close our show, and I want to thank our guests. Please stay tuned again next week when we'll have Finding Hope and Healing After Loss with John Reed, a psychology counselor, and Stephen Riles, who's written Drunk with Wonder. This book is archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, and it's brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley. Helga and Elaine, although your husbands are gone, they live on in your hearts and in your memories. Thank you for helping widows heal after loss.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.